Amen. He's worthy of it. Praise the Lord. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is awesome, church. So good. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:17. Let's go there this morning. We've been talking about hearing from God. Romans 5:17. And check this out this morning. Great verse of scripture. And got a great word for you today. Man, this is one of these days when you wish everybody was here to hear this word. Because it is a powerful word. So hopefully they're watching over the internet today. And thank you for watching over Facebook there and Periscope. But let's look at this. For if by the one man offense, who is Adam, death reigned through the one man, much more. Everybody say much more. Much more. Much more. Much more. I love much more. Amen. Those who receive abundance till the full, till it overflows. The word abundance is till the full, till it overflows. Overflowing, super overflowing of grace, God's favor on your life, God's availability to your life, God's mercy, grace, and of the gift of righteousness, well, what? Will reign in life. Reign in life. God wants you reigning, not draining. Some people are just draining. God wants you to reign in life, not drain. Turn to somebody and say, no more draining here. It's not dripping out of me. Amen. I'm reigning. I'm reigning in life through the one Jesus Christ. All right? Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say this like we mean it. All right? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody and say, God's got hope for you. Amen. Wow. Woo! Man, what a powerful, powerful verse of scripture. This scripture is so prominent, should be so prominent in our life and understanding, in our hearing of what God is saying to the church today, that God desires us to reign in this life. Amen? Reign as priests and kings in this life. God desires you reigning in life. Praise the Lord. So many people live so far below what God has intended for them. And one of the reasons that is because what religion has taught them. Religion is a killer. Religion does not produce life. Religion has become a set of rules of do's and don'ts. If I don't, I'll be cursed. If I do, I might be blessed. If I don't, God's out to get me. No, God's not out to get you. God's out to bless you. He's not there to get you. He wants to abundantly bless you. Happy birthday, Madonna. You are loved. Yeah, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Facebook is good for some things. Not everything. Don't believe everything you receive on that thing, man. But it's good. Happy birthday. You are so loved. We love you. Amen. So religion has become a set of do's and don'ts. And religion has taught us if we do good, we'll get good. If you do bad, you'll get bad. And it's just all based on performance. It's all based. Religion, listen to me, is based on you. The focus of religion is not on God, but the focus of religion is on you. It becomes all about you, how good you are. Did I cross that T? Did I dot that I? It's not focused on where it should be, but it puts the focus back on you and your effort. Are you hearing me this morning? Religion becomes people-focused instead of God-focused. And the reason so many fall under condemnation is they are focused on their own self-efforts to please God. Am I good enough? Am I being good enough? And then people begin to find self-worth in their efforts. Oh, I've been so good. Look what I've done. And there almost becomes an accomplishment of self-worth. Well, God's got to bless me because I've done all these things. Are you listening to me? Instead of believing that God is already pleased with them because of Jesus, religion and the practice of the law will wear you out trying to perform all the time. You never can perform good enough. You will never be good enough. That's why Jesus came, because you couldn't be good enough, and he was good enough, and he is good enough. So religion has been a stumbling block to so many people, and if we're not careful, even as grace-understanding people, we can easily drift back into this law-based performance. And when it becomes law, it becomes about you and not about God. I want to show you a scripture this morning, and you know, how many love revelation? When God opens up the word and something just jumps out at you and it's a revelation. How many love revelation? How many want some revelation this morning? Anybody want some revelation? I'm going to give you some. This is so good today. And thank you for the rain, Lord. It's raining outside. It's raining in here. Amen. Man, it's good. Thank you for that rain, Jesus. Amen. Turn over to Mark 11, 22, 23. This famous verse of scripture, and I'm going to keep it in its integrity because I believe in keeping scripture in its integrity. Hello? How many believe that? How many it's important to keep the word in integrity, right? So I want to keep it in integrity, but you've got to study the whole context of the scripture. Jesus had just left the temple setting, okay? And this is what it says. So Jesus answered his disciples and said to them, have faith in God. How many believe that's important? That's vitally important. But really, the translation of this is have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. When Christ died and you believe, the faith of God was placed in you. So you have in you the faith of God. Now look at this next verse. Back up. Thank you very much. So Jesus answered them, have the faith of God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Would you back up just a second here? Jesus didn't say, whoever says to any mountain, do anybody see any in there anywhere? Is any in there anywhere? Jesus didn't say to any mountain. This is what I believe happened. Jesus pointed to the Temple Mount that he just came off of, and says, if anybody says to this mountain, that Temple Mount, that place of religion, that place of the Old Covenant, that place of the law, if anybody says to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatever he says. Well, I want to tell you, the Temple Mountain the temple is no longer on the mount, because the temple had been replaced by Jesus, the law and the covenant. And now in our heart, are you listening to me? In our heart now, because of Jesus, since religion has been done out of the way, and God says, I don't want you to be religious, I want you to have a relationship. Now that that has been removed out of the way, the mountain has been removed, now we can say in our hearts, hallelujah, we can speak to any mountain because of the faith and the trust that we no longer have in the old covenant and the practice of the law, but the new covenant and the practice of grace. That mountain has been removed and been replaced by Jesus Christ. The old covenant
Woo!
The old covenant has been done away with, and we live in a new covenant. Wow, I saw that. And if you read back, Jesus just came off the mountain of the temple, and that's what he was saying. I say to that mountain, to this mountain, that mountain has got to be removed. The mountain of religion. Whoa, the mountain of religion has got to be removed out of your life if you're going to get a clear picture of the provision of the cross and the abundance of grace. And when you have that clear picture, then you can say to any mountain, be thou removed, and it has to obey you. Woo! Hallelujah! And when you receive the abundance of grace, I know, Richard, I'm about wow with you, brother. God gave me that. I'm going, wow, Lord, this is so powerful. Isn't it amazing when we read through Scripture, we don't read it. We don't hear it. We just slow down, church. Read it. Look back. Look forward. See what he's talking about. Get a clear hearing of the word. Amen? Hallelujah. Man, God is good. Obedience to God is indeed important, but we're going to talk about that this morning. But there's a distinction between the obedience of the law of Moses and the new covenant of faith. Under the law, the people's obedience was required first before God could bless them. After Jesus went to the cross, the only requirement to inherit the promise of God was to simply believe. Independent of our behavior, or self-effort. Under the law, people were holy because of their obedience, but under grace, we are holy because of Jesus' obedience. Aren't you glad? Yes, you can give God some praise. Amen. Under grace, we cannot take credit for any good thing. That's why it's called grace. We are made righteous not through anything we do, but through everything that Jesus did in our belief in what he did in his faithfulness. Under the covenant grace, we bear the fruit of what he has already done. God made the grace covenant because no one was able to keep the law of Moses. Look at Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 3. We looked at this last week, but look at this again. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 3, all right? Now, it shall come to pass if you diligently, what? Obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all. If you're guilty in one of them, you're guilty in all. The Bible says that which isn't faith is sin. So if you're guilty of all, and even, listen guys, even when we don't have faith, because of the new covenant, God still remains faithful. He says, Paul told Timothy, when you're faithless, God is still faithful. That is what's so cool about this new covenant. Even when you're faithless, God's still faithful to you. That's how good he is. To observe carefully all the commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Bless shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Somebody came in this morning, and they told me, I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. I said, yes, you are. Amen. I said, that is awesome. Amen. To hearken here or to hear, to obey means to hearken or hear. This is under the old covenant, which specified that God's blessings were conditional on people's behavior. However, he found fault with the old covenant. Did you hear me? Look at Hebrews 8:8-9. Hebrews 8:8-9. Look at this. Stay with me, guys. Because finding what? Fault with them. You know what? There's a lot of talk about tearing down monuments and moving things in our country. And all. I wish they would tear down every Ten Commandment. Every Ten Commandments that's placed up, I wish they would tear it down. And what I wish they would put in place of it is John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoa, man. Wow. God found fault. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I'll make a what? New covenant with the house of Israel and with all the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, neither could they, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. Next verse, let's go on down to verse 13. Amen. Here we go. We're moving right along. There you are. Verse 13 alone, guys. Just 8:13. 8:13. And that's good too. I'm gonna put it in their hearts, but let's look at it. In that he says, a new covenant has made the first obsolete. The first obsolete, now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to what? Ready to vanish away. Amen. What do you do with something that becomes useless? What do you do with it? I have a dear friend, put it in politics, somebody says. I have a dear friend of mine that bought a new truck here a few months back, and it was a Ram pickup, and he loved that truck. I mean, he loved it, man. He was out. When I first saw him, he said, man, I got to show you my truck. He was sending me pictures of it. Oh, hey, I love my truck, man. He's so proud of this truck. And then Holly and I got to see him for a few minutes one day. And, you know, he was just showing me his truck, man. Hey, look at my truck. So he called me last week and said, hey, Pastor, guess what? I said, what? He said, I was I went through a crossing, and a lady ran a stop sign and T-boned me. I said, brother, you're doing good. He said, oh, yeah, the protection of God's all around me. Yes, and amen. Psalm 91, for those of you who don't know. I said, awesome, man. I said, how's your truck? He said, my truck's totaled. He said, I really think it's totaled. He said, I'll find out this week. I said, oh, man. You know, I could hear it in his voice. My truck's totaled, you know. And so he called. He said, yeah, the insurance company, they totaled my truck. I said, well, why don't you get back in and drive it? What? It's totaled. Folks, something that's totaled, who's going to get back in and drive something that's totaled? Something that's not working or didn't work, who would want to get in a truck that you knew was totaled and take it for a ride? You couldn't, right? Why do people want to sit under the law and think they're going to receive something when God says it's obsolete and vanishing away? Why would you even do that? Why would you even subject yourself to something that is obsolete, vanishing away, and it's a wreck waiting to happen? And besides that, the preaching of the law is the ministry of death. Who wants to sit under death? I don't like funerals. I'm a pastor, and I don't like, I pray I never have to do another funeral in here. I don't like funerals. Just choose life, guys. Right? Amen. Keep me from doing your funeral. Right? Amen. Choose life. So there was nothing wrong with the law of Moses. It was perfect. It was actually too perfect for man. So it was too perfect for man. That's why God found fault in it, because it was too perfect for you. You couldn't keep it. God told the people that in the next covenant that he would or could not and would not depend on what they did. It's not about you. Turn to somebody and say, it's not about you. It would be between himself and Jesus, who is perfect in all of his ways. The covenant of Adam, you know, he ate of every tree. Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and fruit and evil. God had a covenant with him. He broke that covenant. Noah, hey, we know what happened to Noah, but God established a covenant and he said, hey, it will never flood the earth again. Here's my sign. It was a rainbow. There was an Abrahamic covenant. God promised Abraham that he'd be the father of many nations and that all of the earth would be blessed through his seed. Not seeds, but seed. One, Jesus Christ. All of us received the promise and the covenant of Abraham when we received Christ. Hallelujah. There is a Mosaic covenant of the law. Abraham was before the law. Abraham was before the law. The Mosaic covenant came with the law. Moses came down from the mountain. 3,000 people died. But on the day of Pentecost in Zion, on the Mount of Zion, 3,000 people were made alive, come to life in the new covenant. Amen. So the new covenant which we live under, for God so loved the world, amen, is that new covenant. The covenant of the law expired. Many husbands are still trying to operate under the old covenant. Hello? It's invalid. Are you hearing what I'm saying, guys? They think that they're supposed to rule over their wives. You might get knocked upside the head. There's a new covenant. Oh, but what does that new covenant say? Well, let's just take a moment to look at this. I've got some good stuff coming your way. Hang in there. Galatians 5, 21 through 27. Let's look at this. Well, you know, woman, I'm supposed to rule over you. What's up with that? You better get in line, woman. Look what the new covenant says. Galatians 5, is that where I want to go? No, that's not where I want to go. Hang on a second here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not bad. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Galatians 5, 20. Ephesians, I'm sorry. Kind of in the same area. Ephesians 5, 21. Praise God. Let's go there. Ephesians 5, 21. All right, here we go. Submitting to one another, what? In the awe of the Lord, in the worship, the word there, worship. Fear in the new covenant is worship. Worship. In the worship of the Lord. We worship the Lord. We submit to one another. Hello? Under this new covenant, in a relationship of husband and wife, it's a submission to one another. You're not ruling over her. She's not ruling over you. You are one in Jesus. Jesus sees you as one. One. Somebody say one. That is my flesh sitting there. Flesh in my flesh, bone in my bone. Hallelujah. My flesh, her flesh. Right? We're one. Look at this. Go on down. Let's look at this is not a marriage teaching, but it's good. Wives submit to. Well, there it is, Pastor, right there. It doesn't say rule. And then we think submit. Like, you know, like a dog. Heel. Get out. Hey, submit. That's not what it means. That word, kick your cat, not your dog. So just want to let you know. Amen. That word, submit, means, listen to me, to get up under, to support, and make the very best you can. Some husbands need a lot of support. Come on. Some husbands need to be made the very best they can. It's new covenant. It's not dominating. Jesus is Lord of our life now. We're not dominating with dominator. We're not dominating one another. We're submitting under one another and lifting each other up. It's a support system. Hallelujah. As to the Lord, hallelujah. And look at this, guys. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, supporting, saving. Are you listening to me? Come on, men. Y'all should be saying amen. Therefore, just as the church is submission under Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, agape your wives, just as Christ also agaped the church and gave himself for it. The highest form of love, sacrificial love. That's not dominating. It's not ruling over. It's a new covenant. Why am I into this morning? Somebody must need to hear this. Wow. It's getting under there and making each other the very best and allowing grace to operate in your life. We are so prone to receive grace, but we're not givers of grace. As soon as somebody messes up, we want to jump on the back. I told you so. Well, shut up. Shut up. You want grace in your life? Then be a giver of grace. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching to you right now. Oh my gosh. That old covenant of this dominating thing has passed away. We're in a relation. God wants you to have a relationship with your wife and husband. A relationship. We could talk about that another time, but it's good, man. Galatians 3:14. We're under this new covenant. Galatians 3:14. Hallelujah. Back up. I got to do 13. Amen. Oh, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Turn to somebody and say, you've been redeemed. Bought back. Christ. Having become a curse for us, that is written, cursed is every... You're no longer under the curse. You're not under the generational curse. That old teaching over there is just old covenant crap. You're not under that. Hello? You're not under that. Oh, you know, the sins of the father is going to be the third, fourth, fifth... No, that's been broken with Jesus. If you want to stay under that, you can, but it's up to you. It's been broken, done away with. You're no longer under the curse. Jesus has took the curse so that you can be under the blessing. You are a blessed people today, not a cursed people. Turn to somebody and say, there's no curse on me. Or on my family. Doesn't matter if my daddy was an outlaw, if my in-laws were outlaws. Amen. I'm blessed. My life has changed. I'm in a different direction. I'm a new creation. All things have passed away, including my family tree. Some of you need to get out of that tree and get in the tree of life. Well, what's my genie? Who cares? I want to know who I came from is Jesus. Who cares? Amen. Don't get caught up in all that genealogy stuff. I mean, it's all right, you know. I know I'm Scottish, supposed to have some Indian, and I know I got some soul. I got some soul in here somewhere, man. Ain't no doubt about it. I bet you I could do a moonwalk if I wanted to, man. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm a soul man. it's just there. I can't help it, man. It's a part of my DNA. That's why I come. Holly loved me. She said, she got her spirit band now, but hallelujah. Praise God. Nothing wrong. But don't get caught up in that. Brainiac over here, Madison. Well, both of you kids are, but you're studying genetics. Who is? You are. Your sister. I talked to your sister last night. She was telling me, this family's brainiacs. I mean, I was talking to his sister last night. She was telling me about all this genetics. She's studying genetics to help out infants and to help out, you know, moms that are expecting. And that is cool. I thought, man, what a great blessing. Amen? But some of you don't need to know where you came from. It will mess you up. It will trip you up, man. My great-grandfather was, what? Amen. So, you know, just know you came from Jesus. All right. We're going to move on. All right. Verse 14. Blessing. I'm not looking to be blessed. I am blessed. I'm not looking to get blessed. I'm already blessed. Why am I already blessed? Because of Jesus. Everything he's done for me on that tree transferred the Abrahamic blessing over me. I've been grafted in. Hallelujah, you've been grafted in. We are part of the vine now. The blessing of Abraham, the curse is gone. The blessing has come upon us. We are blessed going in. We are blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, wherever we are, even at Walmart. Well, maybe. You're blessed. Amen. No, you are. Hallelujah. The old covenant, obedience was conditional. This is based on Jesus, his obedience in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Under grace, belief is the only requirement to receive the promise of the Spirit. The order of actions was also reversed. Under law, what mattered was that the people, what they did first. Under grace, what matters now is what Jesus did first. The covenant grace hinges on our faith in Christ, not our works. Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The conditional promise was under the law. Under the law, under this line of reasoning, people who were not willing to be obedient did not eat the good of the land. It was necessary to reconcile obedience with grace. We must not think that if we are not obedient, God will not bless us. But listen to this. You got to hear me. Hear me out, okay? Romans 5:19. For as by one man's offense, disobedience were made, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man, many shall be made what? Many shall be made what? The obedience of who? One man. We were not made sinners through anything we did. What? You were not made sinners through anything you did. Likewise, you're not made holy and righteous through any of your own actions. Prayer is good, but no amount of prayer can make you righteous. Fasting is good, though no amount of fasting can make you righteous. The only thing that can make you righteous is believing in Christ's sacrifice. Period. Good stuff. What Adam did was made us all sinners. People who are not saved, people are not sinners because they are, because they sin. They are not sinners because they sin. They were born that way, and that's what made them sinners. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We put more on the action and where it came from. But because of what Jesus did, many were made righteous or benefited from his obedience. Hebrews 10:26. I just got to deal with this a second. Are you all still here with me this morning? Hebrews 10:26. This scares the heebie-jeebies out of most people. When you read this verse of Scripture, it's like, wow. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. How many have heard that verse of Scripture? How many of that verse of Scripture just freaked you out? Can I tell you something? All sin is willfully. All sin is willfully. Under the old covenant, animals were sacrificed to atone for sin. So once a year, there was an animal sacrifice. It was a constant reminder every year of their sin. They lived under condemnation all the time. Under the present covenant, Jesus now is our perfect sacrifice for sin. Many people ignorantly interpret this verse of Scripture to mean that if they sin, nothing can help them with their sin. They're done. That's it. Forget about it. They're gone. There is no grace in that. There is no grace in that. What I want to remind you is, who was this book written to? The Hebrews. They did not enter into his rest because of unbelief. That's the only reason they didn't enter into his rest. Was because nothing, anything else, it was just one thing, unbelief. In fact, if you read this entire chapter, which I won't, sin and unbelief are used in the same context. They're interchangeable. They did not hearken to his voice, the Bible says, because they didn't listen to his voice, they didn't believe. Listen to me this morning. The Bible says, after they received knowledge, you know what? You can receive knowledge of the truth, but it doesn't mean that you receive the whole truth. It doesn't mean that you're obedient to that truth. There's a lot of people that have knowledge today, but they're not practicing the knowledge they have. You can know something and still be stupid. It's not truth that sets you free. It's the truth you know. They had a knowledge. You can know things, but not respond to those things. Are you hearing me? So they had truth preached to them, but they didn't mix it with faith. And these Jews, what was happening is they were tempted to go back under the law. And if they went back under the law and sacrifice of animals, there is no more sacrifice for sins since Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. So they were rejecting Jesus, going back under the law. And Paul says, if you go back there, there is no place for atonement. The atonement's been made in Jesus Christ. Oh, that's good. That's good. You all got, turn to somebody and say, get over your fear on that scripture. It's not about you. It's not written to you. Amen. It's written to those Jews who are wanting to go back under the law. And if they did it willfully. Good stuff, Pastor. The law actually causes us to sin, but grace empowers us to be like Jesus. Can you give me a few more minutes this morning? Look at Romans 6, 16 and 17. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, obedience unto righteousness, obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin. We were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that was delivered. In this scripture, again, the Greek word for obey, guess what it means? To hearken, to pay attention to listen. So in this context, it does not mean to simply comply or follow. Are you hearing me? A doctrine is a teaching. Paul was writing to the church of Rome to ask them whether they were paying attention to the teaching of sin or to the teaching of obedience to faith. If we use our time to listen to the doctrine of sin, we are listening to the law. If we pay attention to it, that is what we serve. Conversely, if we listen to obedience or unto righteousness, we will serve that automatically. By whom we have received grace and apostleship. Romans 5:1. Listen to this. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. What is our obedience? Our obedience is simply to believe. Obedience to the faith. Did you put that up, guys? Romans 1:5. Look at this. Praise God. Through him we have received. Everybody say we've received. Whatever you received, you receive grace. You receive favor. Amen. And apostleship for obedience to what? Obedience to what? What's our obedience? To faith. So it tells us that the type of obedience is accessible under the covenant of grace. Look at Acts 6:7. Acts 6:7. Are you still with me? What is our obedience, Pastor? What do we do? You know, we're humans. We're not humans doing. We're humans beings. All right, y'all still here. I'm glad. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were. What about that obedience, Pastor? What do we do with that? Well, I want to obey. Well, what do you obey? You obey faith. You just respond to faith. Isn't this simple? Isn't this awesome? Amen. The phrase obedience to faith was never used under the old covenant. You cannot find it anywhere. It's never used. Just in the new. Obedience to faith is the obedience to believe what Jesus has already done. Simply defined, it is right believing. Right believing leads to right living. Hallelujah. When you right believe right, you're going to live right. When you believe right, you're going to. When you believe right, you're going to. When you believe right, you're going to. It's not about do. It's about done. He's done it. It's finished. It's over. Amen. What am I response? My response is being obedient to the faith that Jesus has supplied. Hallelujah. I believe. Therefore, I receive everything that he's done for me. The priest demonstrated obedience to the faith when they heard the gospel of grace. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Like, this is almost too good to be true. It is, but it is true. What is it? You mean I don't have to struggle and work and beg God anymore? No, God's already done it. It's already completed. It's already finished. It's a done thing. That's what Jesus said. It is finished. Turn to somebody and say, duh. It is done. It is finished. What do you do? I receive what Jesus has done. How do you receive it? How do you become, but I got to do something. Yes, you do. What do? You believe. That's it. Out of that believing that you are and receiving the gift of righteousness, you don't earn it, it's a gift. Madison and them, they got gifts last night. It was awesome, praise God. We had such a, I like that, it was a party. I like party. Anybody like a party? Don't stop partying because you got saved. Hello? You need to party more. Throw a Matthew party. Matthew, man, he encountered Jesus. What happened? He invited all of his tax collector friends, all of them outlaws, in-laws, biker groups, everybody over to his house, threw a big party. Amen. Said, let me tell you about Jesus. Don't stop. It's amazing. People get morbid when they get born again, when they start believing. It's like, you think they've gone to some monastery. They stop celebrating. They stop dancing. They stop partying. I'm not talking about a life of debauchery. I'm talking about real life, where God gives you real life. Hallelujah. You have fun, and you don't have a hangover afterwards. You have fun, and you can find your way home. You have fun, and you're like, wow, man, how did I get here? No. You have a great, because of Jesus, abundant life, abundant grace, receiving the gift of righteousness in your life, realizing that religion has been done away with. Amen. That mountain has been removed so that now you can receive all that God has for you. All that God has for you is simply by believing. Amen. And when you start believing right, you start living right. It's a matter of just applying simple childlike faith. Amen. Stand this morning. Amen. Grace. Woo! Grace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Raise your hands this morning. Say, I am blessed to know Jesus. Most of all, I'm blessed because he knows me. Say, he is intimately acquainted with me in all my ways. He sees me and he loves me just the way I am. Just the way I am. Grace has been applied to my heart. My response is to only believe. When I believe, I receive, I live, I have life more abundantly. The temple has been done away with. Now I am the temple. I am the place where God lives in me with grace. Full of life, full of mercy. Wow. Full of faith. I am a faith person. I am a faith person. I'm an overcomer. I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am the head and not the tail. Today, I receive that abundance overflowing grace in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant, for the new covenant, for the new covenant. In Jesus' name, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Woo! You believe that this morning? Amen. Wow. You guys believe that today? I want you to turn to five people. Find somebody. You got to get five. Five is the number of grace. Turn to five people this morning and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in spite of what you say about me. Come on. Amen. Would you do that? Find five people. Go to them. Hug them. Give them a hug.